Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
Oh my God, I love Julie Andrews. I love this movie. I haven't seen the new one. I heard it's fabulous. Julie Andrews singing A Spoonful of Sugar, and I agree with her. People probably think this song is so outdated because we're telling kids to eat sugar. And, you know, sugar's okay. It's just the form we eat it and how much we eat it that causes the problem. So we'll talk about that another time. Right now, we're talking about how to get our home environments healthy. And there are ways to do this. And sometimes they're really simple. Sometimes they're a little more complex. And sometimes they're things we never think of. And to help us get our homes ready for spring, whatever part of the country you live in, I am so happy that my guest, Caroline Blazovsky, is back with me. She is my own home healthy expert. Her website is healthyhomeexpert.com. You can find her online. She has a wealth of knowledge about how to have a healthy home, about things that probably never even crossed your mind. Hi, Caroline.
Hey, Samantha. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good to hear your voice again.
And I'm so glad you're joining me again on this. I know you're not far from us here in the Northeast, cold, rainy day. It's springtime, supposedly, although it really doesn't feel like it here today. But you can see the flowers, the daffodils, and the hyacinths are popping up. And I love the hyacinths. They smell so good, and they're so pretty. I just get so excited. And the budding, the trees are redding up and budding. And it's just, it's really, to me, it's such an exciting time of year. I just love it, because you're through the dead of winter, even if it's a cold, yucky day like today. You're looking forward to a long period of time where the weather's going to be fantastic. But when you're living in an apartment or a house or a condo, what are some of the things that we need to start thinking about this time of year so our home is healthy? I'm always talking about get out, run and exercise, you know, get your body healthy, meal prep, have vegetables in the fridge. But let's talk about our home.
Well, and I think, too, like, I've been pushing an agenda now. We've really been talking a lot about how everybody wants to go with nutrition and organics and non-GMO, and then we completely forget about our environments. And the more information and studies that just keep coming out, it's just showing us that our environments really are a big key, if not the key, to how we feel.
Yeah, and the whole pesticide, people are getting ready to do that, and there's all this controversy. Help us.
That's absolutely right, and glyphosate, and has for a long time been linked to cancer. I mean, we're just hearing about it now, but you and I have talked about it for, how many years that this stuff
time.
Is just bad.
Bad stuff. And so let's start with that. You know, I'm seeing ads on television for weed killer. You know, get those weeds before they get you. I'm like, I'm very happy to have dandelions in my lawn and clover. And I even have a whole, I only have a tiny lawn, so maybe that's why. But one little whole little part of it is just moss now. This is probably because it's moist and a little shady there. I'm fine with that. It doesn't have to look like a golf course.
That's right. That's right. And it's not, you know, people, the same thing with pesticide on the inside of our homes, right? We're using a lot of fertilizer and stuff outside, but then going inside, people, you know, this time of year, you see spiders, you see bugs, you see ants. And the thing is that a lot of that is really controllable by your relative humidity. And I talk about this all the time until I'm blue in the face. If you keep your relative humidity low in your house, you're not going to have bugs. And the reason is they need a food source, just like, you know, people do. We need food and to live, and so do they. And if you give it to them, they're going to come. So by just using a dehumidifier, keeping your relative humidity low in the house, you can simply remove dust mites and bugs and mold. Simply. It's so simple. All you have to do is monitor, and it's an easy way to start the process of a healthy home.
Does it get rid of the scary bugs? I'm not scared of most bugs, and I've said this on the air before. I take everything and put it outside. I don't kill anything because I don't believe in doing that personally. But but the scary bugs are the giant water bug cockroach things, and I have some visceral response. They just freak me out. So I'm screaming while I'm running around trying to catch them to throw them outside. They come up through your water pipes. They come in from holes in the wall. I never even knew what one was before I moved to New York City, but I know like places like Florida, they're popular because they're big, and they just, I don't know why they freak. I call them scary bugs. I'm like, scary bug, there's a scary bug. Oh my God, I'm like, get the door. It's ridiculous how I freak out. But how can we help get rid of those without, you know, a lot of apartment buildings in cities have the exterminator come once a month. Like, how do you do that?
Well, and the thing is, too, remember, they're like people. They need food, air, and water. So mm-hmm. if you're going to supply them, and people, you know, we're messy, right? People mm-hmm. drop crumbs. You have kids. They run around. That becomes a food source. So they're coming in for that. Then they're coming in for the water, like you said, up the pipe. So you mm-hmm. really have to keep that relative humidity low. And these tricks work. It's not, you don't need to be spraying all this biocide and pesticide in your house. It's just unhealthy. So you can really try to eliminate it by living cleaner. Living clean is like, you know, it's next, cleanliness is next to godliness. Yeah. It goes hand in hand. And it really makes a difference in how you feel. And it's not just cleanliness, but it's understanding other things. But your environment's key to your health, without a doubt.
And we have areas in our homes that we may not really pay much attention to, like the
basement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the pipes in the basement. What should we be looking for there?
Well, again, it's the, you know, you want to make sure your relative humidity, you don't have mold, and then, of course, by just reducing that, it sounds so easy and cliche, but it's really simple. Like, you want to control the moisture content in your house to keep the bugs and everything at bay. And then, of course, you know, you want to start, especially in the cities like Los Angeles. I do so much work in L.A. and then in New York, the particulate. So we're going to open our windows in the spring, but what's going to come in is all this pollution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know, and I wanted to talk to you about this, a new study came out where they looked at pollution, and they took the APOE gene for Alzheimer's disease,
yeah.
and they basically took rats and exposed people who had the gene to all of this nano-sized air pollution, that what we call particulate, right? Mm-hmm. These little tiny microscopic things that you can't see. So like if you took a thin piece of your hair, like a human hair, mm-hmm. that's 70 micrometers in diameter. That's 30 times larger than the particulate we're talking about. So
wow.
when pollution is so small, it's really tiny, well, it gets into your brain, gets into your body, and you produce the plaque that causes Alzheimer's. And basically what happens is you're so much more, if you have the gene and you're exposed to the particulate, 60% more plaque than, say, someone who doesn't have the gene.
And this was
within 6 months.
This was done in the rats.
Yep.
So we're not so sure about humans, but they think that this may be translatable to humans. Either way, we don't want these particulates. And they're coming from, what is the source?
Pollution. So that would be
cars,
automobile, exhaust.
Burning yep. coal, burning fossil fuels.
I mean, it's more than just fossil fuels.
Yeah.
I mean, if you live in the city, it's a lot of the automobile engines. Even in your home, you can get a lot of particulate if you're not burning clean appliances.
Mm-hmm.
If you are using, you know, you pull your car in and out of the garage, you start your car up, all of that can contribute to particulate, too. So it's not just outdoor pollution, mm-hmm. it's also indoor. But the fact is, if we can reduce disease that significantly by reducing particulate, then we need to. And that means if you open your windows, you've got to run some kind of purification system, or you've got to be dusting regularly or running a HEPA filtration to try to remove that. If you live in the cities, you know, particularly like Los Angeles, you live in Portland, you live in, you know, metropolitan areas.
So I like to have my windows open a lot in the summer, in the spring, in the country. In the city, I like to have them open, but, you know, trying to keep the windowsill clean in New York City is hard because it's just...
Because of the particulate.
But it's visual. I mean, you can see this black
yeah.
soot everywhere, and you're like, oh, my God,
right.
I'm breathing this in. So you had said you need to vacuum. The number of days a week you should vacuum is the number of...
People.
Beings living in your house, whether it's a bird or a dog or a human, right?
Correct.
So if you have two dogs and you have three family members, you should be vacuuming 5 days a week?
Right. So if you had, what do you say, two adults and two dogs, would be 4 times a week. If
mm-hmm.
you had three adults and two dogs, five
mm-hmm.
times. Yep.
So we don't mm-hmm. vacuum as much as we should. And
no.
should the vacuum have the HEPA filter?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a HEPA filter and a closed vacuum system,
mm-hmm.
which means that if you take a bag out and you open that canister and you see dust within the canister outside of the bag,
mm-hmm.
your closed system is not effective.
Right.
You know, nothing should leave the bag. It should all get sucked into the bag, and then when you take the bag out, you want to dispose of it. And also, if you're using the, you know, the systems that have, like, the levee where you just open it with
yeah.
the hatch, there's no bagless,
yeah.
you need to do that outside. Do not dump that within your house. So take it outside and make sure you do it in an outdoor environment.
And I hate those, because then I actually have to wash the vacuum cleaner and wash the filter every time I use it, so I don't like the bagless ones.
I don't like, I tell my clients all the time, I'm not a big fan of the bagless at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Nope.
So... have a filter, dust frequently, you know, just use a damp cloth, because then you can wash that. You don't want to use tons of paper towels and things. And keep your surfaces clean. That's a simple
mm-hmm.
thing to do, right? Keep
yeah,
your home
exactly.
clean. Okay.
And you don't need a lot of, you know, none of the lots of products and scents and fragrances and antibacterial agents. We know when I test air samples that these antibacterial wipes that people have become very familiar with, they are very, very toxic to your air environment on many levels. So they're not good to use all the time. Even storing them will raise your indoor air quality VOC levels. So please, people, like, I know you want to disinfect, but they don't work as effectively as you think, and they also contaminate your air. So really, really be, you know, vigilant about not overusing them.
Oh dear, I have a canister of those at home. Don't tell Caroline.
And if don't you just buy them in bulk at the Costco or wherever.
No. Like, you know. I just use them to be like, if you have a lot of people coming in and out periodically, I might use them to wipe things out. I don't use them often, but having them there, you said, is a problem itself.
Yeah, they store. They actually produce. You know, I have a lot of people who buy cases of them and they store them, and they and then I see them on air samples all the time, frequently. So. You don't want to go crazy. You don't want to store a lot of personal care products if you don't need them. So I know women are more prone to do that because we want to have five of this and five of that, but you really don't. Everything you bring into your home outgasses something, so you want to make sure that you know what you're bringing in and you like and need what you're bringing in.
And that it's unscented.
If you can. You know, a little scent's okay. I'm not opposed to a little, but not to the point that you're, you know, creating a soup of essential oils, or natural things count as VOCs too. People think that, you know, if they use an essential oil that somehow that's natural, it's okay. That your body can't differentiate. We air quality samples don't differentiate the difference. A VOC is a VOC.
Right, which is a volatile organic chemical, for those of you who don't know.
Correct.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to us at Sirius XM 110 Doctor Radio. I'm speaking with the Healthy Home expert, Caroline Blazovsky. You can check out her website at www.healthyhomeexpert.com. She is on Twitter, Instagram, I'm guessing Facebook. Is it all My
all
Healthy
of them,
Home?
Yep. Healthy Home Expert. Yep.
Healthy Home Expert. For great information, she has services that her company provides as well. So, but you know that she knows what she's talking about. So I always love having her on. And we are taking your calls, 1-877-NYU-DOCS. It's 877-698-3627. Mary from Ohio. Hey, Mary, welcome to Dr. Radio. What can we do for you today?
Thank you for your show and shining the light on this huge problem. Our home environments, to try to keep this short, I was identified by patch testing as being sensitive to isomethathiazolinones, which I'm imagining the people listening have no idea, and nor did I, what that was. So that's a group of organic compounds. So when you say VOCs, it's an organic compound, it's a chemical, and what it's being used for, as I found out, and you can talk more about this because I'm assuming you know about it, it's used in everything, pretty much. It's allowed to be used as a topical in this country, in a topical solution in this country that we put on our body. No other country in the world but the United States allows that. But it's also in laundry detergents, almost all the laundry detergents, any commercial cleaning agent. It's in all of those, and you're talking about scents. Mm-hmm. It's in all of those Glades and all those things that are being put into our air. Mm-hmm. And it's just breaking my heart because I know that probably you get sensitized by being exposed, like most things. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that if we cannot bring this to light more and put some pressure on companies, that my understanding is, and it's actually, the Cleveland Clinic did a study on this, it's actually incrementally increasing in its presence. There isn't a paint out there that's sold pretty much that doesn't have it in there as well. So a lot of people unknowingly paint and then get exposed to it in that way, either on their skin or breathing it in. So I just want to put that out there and hope that you can maybe speak to that to the people listening.
Caroline, are you familiar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and it's not just the problem with, you know, the product she's addressing, right? This is a product with a number of chemicals in the industries, right? So we monitor food. We put regulations on all kinds of, you know, pesticide, and we put regulations on how our food is distributed. But when it comes to houses and building, we do nothing. We can put any type of product in a house. We can bring anything in, and there is absolutely no regulation to it. So, I mean, I'm 100% on board with her. When I test homes for lots of different things, not just what she's addressing, but in general, like the amount of benzene that we have, the amount of volatiles that we have in general, the POPs, persistent organic pollutants, these are waterproofing, you know, flame retardants, things like that. They're in abundance in homes. People are developing all kinds of sensitivities to it, and I think there has to be some regulation on the home environments and just what we're allowed to bring in. But this is an ongoing problem. Like, environmental working group and organizations like that are also working to help create systems of regulating products. So EWG, I'm sure she's familiar with it, but mm-hmm. that's a good place to go to, you know, get information about products that are healthier.
Is there something we should look for on labels that identifies the chemicals that Mary's talking about?
I mean, you know, you want to go with simple products, mm-hmm. but even like she's saying, they're hidden. So what they'll do is they'll change, like if you look at formaldehyde, for example, they'll call it different things. So yeah. It's like if you look at a label and I say, look for formaldehyde, it'll be under urea, and mm-hmm. people won't know to look for it. So that's why I like to send people to the EWG website, because they break it down for you and really put a rating system like A to F on products. And some things that you think are benign and are labeled as great green healthy products are not. So I think that's a great place for people to start, and they can go there and get all that information and look at the products.
Okay. All right. Mary, is that helpful for you?
Yes. I'm very schooled. And what I will say is if you look at your laundry detergent when you purchase it, it says, it only tells you a few ingredients, and then it tells you to call the 800 number. And when you call the 800 number, they tell you they don't know.
And what kind of product for laundry detergent, Mary, what are you using? What do you recommend? What do you find?
I have to, and thank goodness for being able to order things online, because I'm able to get things that I can use. I don't want to give a brand, but
well, you can go ahead. You can give a brand.
Sun and Earth does not have
that. That's what I recommend to my clients. The Sun and Earth, fantastic.
Most dish detergents commercially, and you know, I just thank you so much for the work you're doing, because people don't understand chemistry, and they use that, and the fact that the government does not force them to put the ingredients on the label.
That's
and
right.
Be clear about it. So thank you so much for your show and what you do. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling in. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Mary, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I really appreciate it. We have Melanie from Pennsylvania. Melanie, I'm sorry to say we're running out of time. Do you have a quick question for Caroline?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is, we went through a mold remediation 1 year ago. We have 3 HEPA filters running in the home. Concerned about microtoxins left in the home, opening the windows up spring, summer, and fall, how or will that help continue flushing out whatever microtoxins were left behind?
Okay, so mycotoxins, for people who don't know, molds produce mycotoxins, mm-hmm. And once the mold is removed, these mycotoxins are little neurotoxins that stay behind, very small particles, smaller than a micron, so they can get in flooring and in your walls and all sorts of places. The best thing for that is cleaning. And the more you clean, the more you will remove the mycotoxins. You have to, due diligence cleaning, like removing things, taking things completely out of the room, making sure that you're not only HEPA vacuuming, but wiping surfaces over and over again. And that's the key with mycotoxin. Like, you really have to do that. A lot of people do mold remediation, but they don't really thoroughly clean. You know, they leave a lot of stuff around. When they're doing the remediation, it gets contaminated. So please do a test. Also, go to real-time labs. So, like, after you do all your cleaning, you can do a test to see how many mycotoxins you have, a dust sample or a HVAC sample from your heating and air conditioning system. Definitely do that and monitor and make sure that number is going down.
All right, Melanie, that was a good, succinct answer. Thanks for that good question. We appreciate it. Caroline, we have about a minute left. I know next time you have to come on for longer. Final thoughts you want to share with our listeners? I know we could talk about this for such a long time. There's so much information, and you're just so fantastic with your level of knowledge and skill.
Just everybody, you know, spring's a great time to either do some testing in your home, do a mold test, do a water test, do something to find out what your environment is and how it's working. Make sure everything's healthy. Your health is directly impacted by how you live and your environment, so you need to take it seriously. You have to be just as interested in what you're putting into your body as to what's around you. Your skin is your biggest bodily organ, 26 seconds or less. Those things are in your body, so look at your environment for health.
Caroline Blazovsky, My Healthy Home and healthyhomeexpert.com. Check her out. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice talking to you. Happy spring, everyone.
You too. I so appreciate having you on the show. So you guys, you know what's happening this weekend, right? In addition to the exercise you're going to get, you're going to be cleaning. Cleaning, vacuuming, dusting, wiping down those surfaces using reusable cloths and green products during this break. Move Your Fanny. We'll be back right now.